week. This joyous Easter day, we pray God's blessings. We've been fasting for our Lenten season. We've held back from our hymn of praise. We've held back from the Alleluias. No more fasting. The fast is broken. Christ is risen from the dead, never to die again for you. And we pray that this good news of Jesus risen, alive, and coming again would fill your day and your life today and always. Just a couple of words on our worship service. Our opening hymn, number 457, Jesus Christ is risen today. Please stand as the cross enters into the church. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. Our hymn of praise today is This is the Feast. We have a gospel processional for our gospel reading, and we have the choral anthem. We'll bracket that. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of this day. We thank you for your victory over sin, death, and the grave by the gift of your Son, Jesus, God in the flesh for us. Heavenly Father, help us to see the good news of God's power over sin, death, and the grave, not only as a future inheritance, but as something that fills our lives and gives meaning and purpose to everything that we do. Heavenly Father, fix in our hearts and minds a firm conviction that because Jesus lives, we too shall live now and forever. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 457.
Thank you. Divine Service, setting one, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we sing together the introit as it's printed in our bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Job chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak now the gradual appointed for today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ is arisen from the grave's dark prison. So let our joy rise full and free. Christ our comfort true will be. Alleluia. Where Christ not arisen, then death were still our prison. Now with him to life restored, we praise the Father of our Lord. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn number 480, He's Risen, He's Risen.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. It's right here in God's Word. I know that my Redeemer lives. Popular hymn in our hymnal. I know that my Redeemer lives. This is being shouted from pulpits throughout the world today. And skeptics among us say, so what? What do you know? What do you know? How many times don't we hear that question, statement, accusation all wrapped up into one when we say something and somebody doesn't believe us? What do you know? Well, what do I know? I know I'm allergic to Easter lilies. I know it's been a long week of worship services and I'm ready for a Sunday afternoon nap. I know my Washington Nationals can't break 500. And after watching the spring game last week, I am not so sure we're going to have a great football team this fall. But what do I know? The story of Job, at least the beginning and the end of the story of Job, is fairly well known, not only by Christians or by Sunday school kids, but by people everywhere. Job has it all. Satan tells God the only reason Job loves you and worships you is because he has a lot of stuff. Take away his stuff and he won't love you anymore, God. And so God says, okay, you can take away his stuff. And that's exactly what happens. Job goes from an episode of the lifestyle of the rich and famous to losing his family, losing his fortune, losing his status, losing everything, seemingly like that. It's all gone. But Job still worships the one true God. Satan tells God, you know, God, he's still got it too good. He's got his health. So God tells Satan, okay, you can take his health, but you cannot take his life. And so Job's life, as he loses his health, slowly but surely becomes an absolute living hell. Pussy boils all over his body that are a perfect home for maggots. His breath, so horrific because of all the stuff going on in the inside that people cannot stand to get close. In agony of mind, of heart, of body, and soul, Job wants to die. Job knows he's going to die. But he still keeps his faith in the one true God. Enter in Job's wife and friends. After all, when somebody's on their deathbed, people gather around, right? The people you know, the people you love, the people you trust. Job's wife looks at Job and everything that he has lost and the miserable condition that he is in, and Job's wife comes up with this brilliant suggestion. Hey, dear, curse God and die. It's his fault. Thanks, dear. Job's friends come. They could have come and just kept their mouths shut and offered encouragement and support. That would have been good. But they couldn't leave well enough alone. Like Job's wife, they knew that they had the answer. Job's wife blamed God. Job's friends blamed Job. Job, we know you're suffering terribly, and guess what? It's all your fault. If you would just repent, if you would just clean up your act, if you would just search your mind and your heart for that great big sin that you committed, then you would know why God is allowing this to happen. And so in the midst of pain and suffering and heartache and absolute certain death, after assessing the advice from his wife and his friends, Job says, I have something to say. You can almost hear Job's wife and friends say, what do you know, Job? You're a pitiful, dying, stinky mess. Job says, no, you don't understand. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in rock forever. You don't understand, folks. What I am about to say needs to be written and preserved for all of time. Over 3,000 years ago, Job spoke these words, and we have them right here, right now. It's Job's last will and testament, if you want. It's Job's bold confession of faith. Everybody, sit up and take notice, because Job has something to say. What does he say? I know that my Redeemer lives. I'm going to be dead soon, but my Redeemer lives, and I know it. I'm certain of it. I have absolute perfect conviction. Why? Because my heart tells me so? Because I'm doing so well in life? No. Because I have a sure and certain word from God. A word that stands against everything that I feel. A word that stands against everything that I see. A word that stands against everything everybody else thinks they know. Because there's only one who truly knows. The one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Creator of the heavens and earth, Redeemer of the world, the one who holies or sanctifies us. This is the only one who knows. And he has revealed to us the truth of his word. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. What's a Redeemer? We don't often think about the import of that word. To redeem something is to buy something back. When I was a kid, we used to save S&H green stamps and then take them to the redemption store. They basically overcharged you for the product, gave you some stamps, and then you went and bought back some trinket or product that they overcharged you for to begin with. That's the foolish way that we think of redemption. Luther teaches us in the Catechism that we have been redeemed by the God-man, Jesus Christ. We have been purchased. We have been won. We have been bought back, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This word, redeemer, has an amazing significance in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word is goel. We find out a lot about it in the book of Ruth. Literally, it is kinsman redeemer. And there were a lot of duties that the kinsman redeemer had, but the primary duty of a kinsman redeemer was that of avenger. Avenger. If you die, there needs to be somebody to speak up for you after you're dead. There needs to be somebody to avenge your death if you died innocently or wrongfully. The kinsman redeemer was a close relative that would not rest when their relative died. They would not rest until their death had been avenged, till the innocence of that person had been proclaimed throughout all the world. Job knows. Job knows he's about to die. Job has lost everything. Everything that the world sees. But Job has not lost his faith. With his final breath, Job says, write this down. It doesn't get any more important than this. I know that my avenger, my redeemer, lives. And upon the last, he will stand on the earth. Literally, the dust. My dust. After my body has been decomposed and decayed to the point of dust, when there is nothing left inside of me, my Redeemer will stand. He will stand upon my dust. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God, whom I will see for myself with my own eyes, and not another. When our Redeemer returns on the last day in power and might and glory, Jesus will call forth every dead body, every person who has ever lived for all time. All the dead bodies will come back to life. In our flesh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we will see the Lord. Dear baptized, you will see him with your own eyes, not somebody else's eyes, not fake eyes. You will see the Lord. God's word clearly teaches a physical resurrection of the body. How can that be? Because Christ, our Lord and Savior, was physically resurrected from the dead on that first Easter. He is the first fruits of those who have come back to life. First fruits means there's more coming, and that's you. All of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into a death. And if you have been baptized into Christ's death, you are also baptized into his resurrection. Christ's resurrection guarantees your resurrection. My friends, we tend to fall into one of two camps with regard to our body. As Christians, we are quick to say, well, if you believe in Jesus, when you die, your soul goes to be with Jesus forever in heaven. And that's absolutely truth. But that's not the whole story. We are not spirit people. We don't turn into angels when we die or any other such silly nonsense. We are flesh and body people. When we die in Christ, our soul, our spirit immediately is with Christ in heaven, and our body is planted here. Our body is planted and awaits a harvest, a blessed harvest, a glorious harvest. When Christ comes back, he will say, "Come forth," and all the dead bodies will rise. The bodies of believers, body and soul, will be with Jesus. The body of unbelievers, body and soul, will be with Satan in the torments of hell. Thus saith the Lord. So now, because most of us think that, you know, Christianity is like, well, when I die, my soul goes to heaven and that's it. We tend to fall into one of two camps with our bodies. One camp is we worship our bodies. Our bodies are the most important thing. We're 50 going on 19. Or we're 12 going on 25. You know what I mean. The most important thing in the whole world is, do I look good in this suit? Do I look good in this dress? How are my abs? Can you see my six-pack? We worship our bodies as if our body is God. We teach our kids at an early age to worship our bodies when we enroll them in every kind of sport activity, and then we worship in front of the TV with our gods of athletes. We worship our body. That's one error. And on the other ditch, the other error, our body is a nothing. We don't take care of our bodies. We couldn't care less. We're poor stewards of our bodies. My friends, God has given you a body, not to worship, but to take care of, to love, to honor, and nurture, because your body is where the Holy Spirit dwells. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And how we treat our bodies is a reflection of how we love and treat our God. My friends, today, as we have God's Word before us, the Word of God in the book of Job, it is good to ask ourselves a simple question. What do you know? What do you know? Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your emotions. Don't trust what's out there on Facebook or Twitter or in the blogosphere. Don't trust what the world would tell you is the gospel. And certainly don't trust that old Adam or old Eve that lives inside of you. Know and trust the sure and certain Word of God. What do I know? I know I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and I deserve nothing but death and hell. What do I know? I know that God loved the world, and that includes me, and sent his Son to bleed and die and rise again for me. What do I know? I know that God delivered Good Friday and Easter to me, August 31st, 1958, in the waters of holy baptism, and claimed me as his own. What do I know? I know I've done a crummy job of being a good steward of my body. When I was young, I worshipped it and dreamed of being a professional athlete. And now that I'm old, I don't really care about it at all. Chief of sinners though I be. What do I know? I know that God loves me in spite of myself. And the proof of that love is his death and resurrection. What do I know? I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will stand upon my dust and he will call me forth from the grave, and I will see him face to face with my own eyes. Mine! Not yours, but with mine. Oh, how my heart yearns within me. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our knowledge in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. At this time, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an opportunity to confess the faith that God has given to us. This morning, we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158 in your hymnal. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We continue with the prayer of the church. In addition to those prayer requests listed in your bulletin, we have two additional prayer requests. First off, we rejoice with the Lewandowski family at the birth of twin daughters this past Friday, Amelia Ann and Madeline Kay. We also this morning pray for all of those Christians in Sri Lanka suffering and struggling following an Easter morning bombing there. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world and for all of those who confess the name of the risen Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God gives us to do, and for the unity of spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our synod, for our preschools, day schools, high schools, colleges, universities, and for our seminaries, especially for our own day school, Good Shepherd Lutheran School, that those who teach and those who learn in them would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake on this Easter day of Christ's resurrected holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins, the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast that is to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use his word to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our government and all those set into positions of leadership, that they may use their authority honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides, to support the church and to help their neighbor in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope, but would always rely on God's promise that he will never leave them nor forsake them, and the promise that Jesus has raised from the dead, and one day we will follow, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, especially the Lewandowski family, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or worldwide on the internet. We pray that Christ's victory over sin, death, and the grave would be your confidence and your confession today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
Please stand as we sing the offertory. Continue the service of the sacrament, page 160. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you.
This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, and 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 mercy on us, God.
welcome to the Lord's table. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
This time, please stand as we sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 488. Hymn 488.
was dead but now is living. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Big activity we have coming up Tuesday is our next blood drive. We've been doing these every other month since we almost lost Vicar Short a while back, and he needed all the blood transfusions. So 11:30 to 5:30 on Tuesday, right in the fellowship hall. You can just show up, or you can go on the app or call them up and make an appointment. That way you won't have to wait quite so long. That's Tuesday, 11:30 to 5:30. We have three more Wednesdays for midweek. We are rejoicing with our six junior confirmands who were confirmed last night during the Easter Vigil. We pray God's blessings upon them. We start a new Lifelight Bible study this Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the book of Judges. And we're back on our regular Wednesday worship routine, midweek at 5:30, worship at 6:30, choir and Bible study after church. We've got goodies. I don't know if it's hot breakfast or cold breakfast or continental breakfast or bring your own breakfast. No, we got breakfast in the fellowship hall. So please join us if you haven't already done so. If you ate before church, we're not counting. What do I know? Go ahead and eat again. To assuage any guilt, let's pray. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen.